Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I'm going to be asking you some questions tonight. Amen. And basically just to prepare you, I'm just going to ask what God is doing in your life. It doesn't have to be everything, just something that you're thankful that God has done or is doing that is very significant in your life at this moment. We would just want to hear that. Amen. But before we ask that, I want to bring our attention to some important things. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of us realize that when we wake up in the morning and go to work, what are you spending when you go to work? Like Renee wakes up in the morning and goes to Lee University. What are you spending? What are some of the things you're spending? Okay, very good. Very, very good. Energy. Okay. Who else? Amen. 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 Okay. When Renee gets up in the morning and goes to Lee University, like every one of us goes to various places, we have to exchange something for time. Amen? Lee University does not just take her name and give the paycheck to somebody else. Amen? Her name is in a register, clocked in the file that she is a staff, she's a worker, she's an employee. And they request an amount of time, and she goes in there every day. I don't know how long they spend, maybe 8 hours, 9 or whatever. But she goes back home. She spent time doing something. Now, they are going to pay her and reward her for what she's investing into the school. But that time that she puts into it is a condition that is required for them to reward her. So there's an exchange, amen? The school exchanges finances for the time she puts in there, whatever she puts in the time for. Amen? So there is an exchange. Everybody say exchange. Okay. Amen. So sometimes we call it reward, but she paid a price for it. Amen? But she's rewarded for the time she put in there financially. Exchange. Okay, there's another form of exchange. If we go to Walmart and we go there and just pick up a few things from the counter, will they let you go free with it? They need an exchange. Amen? You go to Walmart or to Bilo or to Kmart or all the various marts, and you exchange something for currency, for money. The Bible talks about the law of exchange in the area of sowing and reaping. You exchange your seed and put it in the ground, and when the ground later gives it back to you, it gives it back to you in the form of reward. Amen? Fruit. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, the students that are here, they invest time and money and all their energy. They are giving something away, but in return, they are receiving something from the teachers, which eventually what they are receiving from the teachers will come in form of a certified areas of profession that gives them ability to exchange it for money in future. Amen? So these are principles that we cannot deny. These are principles we live by. But there's something about the principles of the kingdom in the area of exchange that the enemy has such power of stealing from Christians, from believers. And that area is called diligence, faithfulness, commitment. You cannot work for Walmart, and Walmart is never, you don't get the money that day. But you know that hours you're putting in there is piling in exchange for something 2 weeks time or at the end of the month that Walmart will definitely give you in exchange for your hours. So because there are rules and conditions binding you to this law, you keep your side of it and you are diligent. Why was the word diligent? Diligent is an action that is motivated for an expectation. So you wake up in the morning. That's why the Bible says, if somebody doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. Because by nature, a lazy person, if you keep feeding a lazy person will sleep and give you 7 reasons why you should keep feeding them. That's why the Bible says a lazy person is too wise, because he's not being corrected by this selfish wisdom. So when it says those who walk, meaning walk means you have to be diligent to wake up in the morning. You have a forecast to go to work. When you get to work, you have an assignment. You do the assignment, you finish it, you go home, you don't get a check that day. But you're diligent to go back the next day and start the next morning. You go, you do the same thing. And you are diligent with it. And in the world, if you're not diligent, you come one day, you don't come the next day, you receive a phone call. Don't bother to come back. Because they know that without diligence, you are standing in the way of what they are trying to do or achieve. So the world, they don't tolerate laziness in terms of the principles of success. Amen? Amen. But in the things of the kingdom, the enemy has succeeded in taking certain things out of our way of commitment or diligence or faithfulness. Because the reason is the God bases the principles of his kingdom by faith. You have to believe the word and obey God regardless of what you see. And you stay committed, faithful, and diligent to what God says to do. And you're walking by faith because on this other side, you physically know you're going to get the reward. You're going to do this. You're going to do. If you plant a seed, you know you're going to get your plant. So you're diligent because in the physical, you know what you're doing and you know what you're going to expect. And in the physical realm, you know if you don't, you're not diligent, you're going to lose your job or you're going to lose the reward. Amen? So this is what the Lord is saying. unknown to the body of Christ, we are where we are because of ignorance of the power of faithfulness. So many of us has lost rewards, thinking God is not a God who requires diligence. Many of us has lost so many things, thinking that we can be totally lousy with our commitments to the things of God and expect God to bless it. So the enemy has convinced us it's okay to live anyhow with God, do things anyhow, come when you do, just disregard the commandments of God, and then you also bless. That is a major deception of the enemy. And the condition of the church today will tell you the enemy has that principle in people's mind, but look at the life of the church and the condition of the church, and you tell the what is happening. Amen? Why is faith important for us to understand our walk with God? Again, because faith is you're obeying something you don't see, you're believing it, and you're walking towards a result you don't see, and you don't know the time you will see what you're believing. But you're guaranteed, like Walmart, God guarantees you, you will receive a reward. He says you will reap. You will receive your reward. You will receive the rewards of God in God's way. It's a guarantee more than man. But because the timing is in God's hands, and the way God will bring it is in God's hands, and faith is required, sometimes because we are human, we grow weary. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, what are some of the things that God exchanges for our faithfulness? What are some of the things that God exchanges as a reward? Because he says in Hebrews 11, he says, without faith, it's what? Impossible to please God. Meaning if God is your father or employee, without faith, it's impossible for him to receive your diligence or your faithfulness. So we cannot please him or please the things he's requesting of us, because it requires faith for us to be diligent and faithful. And that's why he says always looking for faith. You're diligent at praying, you're diligent at knocking on the door, or diligent in serving whatever we're doing. Now, but in the same Hebrews 11, he said this, for he that comes to God, must what? Believe. He must know that what? He's what? He's what? He is a rewarder of those who what? The key is there. Diligence. So if there's no diligence there, there's no reward. I wish God can help us understand that the requirements of the world are not even the standard. They are lower than the standard of God. That's why God gives grace for us to do our due diligence. Amen? What are some of the exchanges that God gives to us in the area of diligence in what he's called us to do? Let's use one example. Daniel. Now, when we talk about Daniel, some of us will say Daniel. Let's understand that Daniel is in the Old Testament. Amen? Daniel is in the Old Testament. It's not even, the Bible says the least of the kingdom is beyond the abilities of Daniel because we have the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you why I'm saying this. I can't get over some of the things this brother John Beville preached in this place. He said, He didn't communicate very well. He could not even write English. He failed English miserably. He was so poor in that area, in writing, in English. And that's the area, the weakest area of his life God took. And this man's book is all over. He's a multimillionaire just because of writing. The weakest place of his life, God took it and has caused his book to go around the world. and it's in demand all over the world, selling in millions. And that's the weakest area. He was an engineer when he quit and started serving God. A top engineer. And then went through all the process of brokenness. And then you heard him say, God called him to write. I said, God, you got the wrong person. I failed all these things. But God says, just like Moses, who made this, who made this? So I use that to say, if somebody, God discovered where your strength is, but hidden behind your strength is weakness. So it's God who took that cloak of weakness away and exposed the place where God intends to use him. So most times, the areas God wants to use us, they are clothed with weakness. Why? Because why will God allow that? Because he wants, by the time he takes that weakness away and strengthens us, he always gets the glory. Because we have an evidence, there is no way we would have been able to do that. You can never claim the glory because everybody knows that's a weak area. You know that's a weak area. And God gets the glory. Amen? But how does this work? John Beville didn't have the time to tell you all this story. But this is why I keep going back to this. And I know some of you are getting it, and I pray some people will keep getting it. He, in everything, he ended and summarized everything he came here to preach and start talking about prayer. He says, the vice president of Chrysler, he was thinking this, these people are the world, God, we have you, we have that. And then he says, right before he was praying, now God called him into prayer. As he started praying, God gave him ability. God multiplied his ability. And in the midst of that, he gave himself to prayer and God exchanged wisdom, creativity beyond his natural ability. And he took that and was able to do things that brought him to be the vice president of Chrysler. That's it. He talked about a football player. He talked about this. So we are not talking about people being over spiritual. God wants to meet us where we are, whether it's football, baseball, basketball, he is cleaning at McDonald's, whatever it is, God wants to take that place and give you a testimony in that area. Amen? Why? God always shines when we are weak because we yield to him. How do we yield to him? He said prayer. Another person came again. They came to visit from, they said prayer. Weak people that could do nothing gave themselves to prayer, and through prayer, they became strong people and changed the atmospheres wherever they are. So there is not an overemphasis on prayer. The only problem with prayer is that there's a misunderstanding of what prayer means. Just like you have money and you go to Walmart and exchange it for goods. You go to school, you go to work, you exchange your time for money and stuff. And then you take the money and exchange it for good. Prayer is simply exchanging the time you spend in the presence of God with God rewarding you with supernatural abilities to be more successful. The only exchange that God requires is a time in his presence. And that exchange causes God to give you, just like you take money to Walmart, God gives you something. So it's in prayer, the word is transformation. What is transformation? God takes your weakness, gives you strength. He takes your poverty, gives you riches. He takes the broken areas of our lives and he gives us what we need to be what we can be. It only happens in his presence. Prayer is nothing but spending time in God's presence. We talked about all these people that they mentioned. But one common example is Daniel in the Bible. He brought it. And the reason we use Daniel, many other places in the Bible, they do the same, but it's not specific, the diligence in the presence of God. But in the book of Daniel, he made it clear that Daniel's success was based on the fact that he was diligent in his exchange. In what he needs from heaven to exchange for what he needs on earth to serve humanity. So he exchanged time for the empowerment of God, for the presence of God. And God in turn gave him wisdom, gave him knowledge, gave him ability beyond the abilities of the people around him. And that was only in the presence of God. Satan took note of that to the point they are making a whole decree that will govern every nation of the earth, because Babylon was to stop Daniel from the presence of God. Because that's the only way all the other leaders, all the Babylonian champions, Babylon was the best in the world, and they have all these great people Nebuchadnezzar has chosen to surround him, the best minds, the best brain, the best in everything. And Daniel excelled all. And they found out it's because he spends time in the presence of God. So when Jesus himself said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. This thing about prayer has been misunderstood. And simply, if you can get prayer as spending quality time in God's presence. See, when you are at work, some people say, I pray at work, I pray here, I pray there, I pray when I'm walking. That's wonderful. But the kind of prayer we're talking about, Jesus says, go into your closet and shut yourself. It's a secret, a time alone. It's the time Daniel will go shut himself. It's not a general, it's not the time you're seeking for wisdom. It's that one-on-one where you build over a period of time an awareness of the impartation of God in your personal life. Amen. The scripture I have here tonight, before I ask you, what has been some of the fruit of your spending time in God's presence? This scripture drives and motivates me. It's in Hebrews chapter 4. It says, Hebrews 4:9, there remains therefore a rest to the people of God. The people of God. Verse 10, for he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Verse 11, let us labor therefore, let us be diligent therefore, let us strive therefore to enter into this rest, lest any man fall after the example of unbelief. What is he saying? This is the what the scripture means to me. It's like the eagle that waits. The Bible used it in Isaiah 40. That waiting, it says there's an exchange that takes place. The eagle loses his old ability, and then as he waits, he gains a new ability. And this ability, these new feathers and everything, causes him to rest upon the wings, and the wind carries him so that his strength is not exerted for him to get to where he wants to go. The Bible did not use that for a display. It's a principle God has given to us that something happens to our soul when we are in the presence of God. Our soul is spiritual. Something happens to our mind, it's spiritual, when we're in the presence of God. Something happens to our spirit when we're in the presence of God. And these areas of our life, our soul, our mind, our spirit, they are empowered, they are energized, they are fed, they are developed when we are in the presence of God. Amen? And when these things happen, it gives our soul and our spirit the ability to overcome the abilities of our flesh. And gives us the wisdom of God, the mind of God, the creativity of God, the insights of God, all these different things. It doesn't happen overnight. And that's why that diligence is there. Be diligent to stay in it. Be diligent with your morning devotion. Be diligent with the times you pray. Be diligent with your commitment to when you come to a general assembly, like coming on Wednesday, like coming on Sunday. These things, God uses them to do amazing things in our lives. Do you know why he says we should labor or strive and be diligent to enter into this rest? This is the reason. If we are not diligent, what happens is, like the people of Malachi, there is a momentum that is lost. And while you're diligent, a farmer is sowing and doing things, he's not seeing the harvest. If you're not diligent and stay focused and stay in what God is doing and let God keep encouraging you and sustaining you, you get to the point where after a while you don't see certain things because it's not the timing or what God is doing, you lose heart, you faint. And what does he say? You enter into a state of unbelief. Like Malachi, they begin to question, what is the use serving God? What is the use doing these things God says to do? You begin to question the integrity of God. Why he's asking you to wait in his presence or to give or to serve. That's why he's saying, be focused, be diligent. Because people have fallen into that state in the past. And that's why he's saying we should be diligent so we can escape the temptation of eventually falling into a state of unbelief where we question the validity of the word of God, the validity of our obedience to God, the reality of God being a true lover and a father in our lives. A miracle worker, a healer. Before I ask you, what is the fruit that you can see for now that you can truly tell, like Daniel, like it's a testimony. We can't talk about those people. I know some of you here have the impact of your serving God. How it's making a difference in your area, in your life, just to encourage others. You know, if I ask you and I don't say a few things, let me be honest. Sometimes the reason I don't share my personal, some of the personal things, some of them are a little bit, you'll say, oh, okay, it's because it's this, it's that person. No. Because we're here, it is sometimes very difficult to share with you the results of what we wait here to see. The reason we are very practical about what God does in the presence is not we have to always have the signs and wonders. Those will come, those will happen. But we're talking about real life, your job, your school. What is the presence of God? What difference is it making in your academics? How do you see that? In your finances, in your relation with people. Spend overnight with people. Spend 2 days with people and see the character. What difference is it making? What difference is it making with my relations with others? How can I tell that my life is truly being changed by my walking with God, my being in the presence of God? The few things I'll be honest with you, I avoid saying things because some of them are just big. And it's all completely because of spending time just in God's presence. And some of these things happen. I'm here, somebody gives a phone call. So-so-and-so needs to talk to you, or so-so-and-so wants prayer, or so-so-and-so. That's how God opened the doors. And this door opens to this place or opens to that place, all because God has done something, and God is now trusting you to see some of the fruit of being in his presence. You are able to address this and address this and address this. And these are all big things. Big things. We are here because we're in prayer all the time. You know, the reason why God keep encouraging us to draw closer with what we're sharing, I know it will bless you. I know you make a difference. I know it because I've tasted it. You will make a difference. You will not operate in your wisdom. You will not operate in the brokenness of your past. Something called love has taken over. You will not live in the condemnation of what you cannot do, but you begin to find the grace to see God do things through your weakness. Because we are created to make a difference. Amen? I'm an African. Let me just give you one example. Just because I don't want to get into these big things, this stuff that you don't know. Just last night, just give you one example. Who was here? Okay, you were here. Ven was here. And you were here. TLRA had some people in their back room. And we were here just serving God, just worshiping the Lord, spending time with the Lord. I mean, it has nothing to do with nothing. We're just here, just worshiping. And by the time we're kneeling here, a bunch of these chaplains from Panama just filled this place like flies. I mean, they were saturated this place. These are leaders from Panama in the different denomination, Foursquare. They are going to Maryland for a conference, and they wanted to stop by here to see Dr. TLRA just to bless them. These are significant. One of their mayor came with them. Mayor, one of the cities of Panama, came with them. And all these leaders, you all saw them yesterday. They were all here. They filled this place. So we all had to come out here and continue our worship. I was there. I didn't know what was happening. I just knew there was a noise there. So I turned around. I saw these people here. I said, okay, let me just stand. At the end of it, we're just standing here. TLRA stood there and was praying for them. And then after he finished, turned around and they were leaving. Isn't it? They were going. They were about to go. Turned around and saw me there and said, Brother Obi, I didn't know you were here. Come, grab my hand, stood here and told him, don't go, come back. Stand here. I didn't say anything. He started talking. This, that. By the time he finished, all these people were wanting to shake my hands. Some of them would not leave. They wanted, just lay your hands on me. And these are leaders. Where's your card? We want to keep in touch. Where's this? Where's that? Overnight. Just a simple promotion, just like that. From all these people that came from Panama. Come to Panama. We want to go to... They were just here. Did you see that? Did you notice that? Ben, did you see that? Just switch a button. Now, that is not to say anything, but I use that to give you, that's the way it has happened every time I leave this place. With significant people. All in the presence of God. Why? Your destiny is aligned to the presence of God. Whether you're in your job place, if you will spend time in the mornings at home, just be diligent. Spend time here. Your work, you don't know how, just like I'm saying here, God has a way of promoting, highlighting you. I witness this all the time. I have been places there's impossible to even know the doorkeeper in those places. So this thing is for real. And let me be honest with you. As great as these things are, I walk away from them. Because there is nothing like the presence of God. So I'm not trying to sell you a television set. I'm not trying to convince you to buy a new sofa. I'm telling you something that is so available to you. The Welling women are coming this week. We're going to Washington next week. These are people that have seen a little taste of the results of. We want to know something about this. We want to know something about, these are leaders asking questions. How can we embrace the little we see? So I'm saying this to, maybe you can be encouraged to know you already have what it takes to shape a destiny of a generation. It's just being diligent. Is a rewarder of those who are diligently seek him. Whether he is snow, whether they wake up from morning, put on their clothes, go to work. God takes note of why you come here on Saturday. Some of you are tired. Some of you came out of work. Some of you have been in work, but you committed. You know this is, you. That alone has shifted something in your character and the spirit. God takes notice of how the difficulty of coming to church on Sunday, the difficulty of sometimes coming to this place. He sees all these things. We do it easily for our workplaces, but he knows it's more difficult because we're dealing with spiritual things, and he takes notice of it. Amen? And he rewards it in his own time. Amen? Another, just last thing, I can share my testimonies and different things, but one thing that I've seen ever since we finished with this season of prayer, the Lord has been doing something very new with me. It's not like it's not been happening before, but it's becoming more profound. And what does this mean? What is this I'm talking about? It is God is doing something about redeeming my time. There are things I will normally strive and take time, call this person or plan this thing with ASLP or this group or that group. This time, we spend time in God's presence. We pray. We wait on God. And all of a sudden, God will quicken in my heart, do this now. And I do it. And I see massive result from just doing one thing that I would have spent so many times doing, trying to make it happen, and it would take me a long time, and I just do it when God leads to do it, and the result just folds out. And it's all because he allowed me in his presence to be tuned to his timing. I sent this message to somebody, say, wow, I needed this now. I called somebody, you know, we're trying to have some national thing, you know, it's got them right that minute. And they committed. Just things that you'll be trying, doing everything to try to schedule. God leads you to do it when the people are ready to receive it. And immediately the thing is locked in. All in God's presence. Why? We decrease in our human strength, in our human ability to reason out the power of this awesome God. And we yield to his grace and mercy. And he does things through us, for other people and for our lives. So, I can go on and on, but just maybe two or three people or four before we pray for God to give us a diligent heart, faithful, committed hearts. Stay with it until. Amen? Because God is a rewarder. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So who here is bold enough to tell us, what can you share? Just tell us one thing that you can give God glory for tonight that you can see in the area of prayer or what God has done that caused a breakthrough here and there. Who would like to encourage us with some that kind of testimony? Okay, Tokwe.
He says God is working behind the scene on your behalf until you see it. You know, always. This testimony you just shared, a lady had a similar thing in Chattanooga. You know, I shared it. She was going through this thing and fear and concern, and she didn't know where money would come. We'll keep praying and believing and standing. And from nowhere, she had the same similar letter like you had. And this was from a finance company saying, your husband, whatever happened, she didn't know that ever existed, $30,000. Just from nowhere, just like that. And God does that with people all the time. Amen? So let's take, just those of you that shared, not long prayers, but let's just pray for the diligence. The word the Lord is giving me is, my brothers and sisters, we are blessed. These seasons of prayer, I'm telling you, we are blessed. Things are happening. Things are being confirmed. Things are coming together. We're stepping out now to see how God will lead us to harvest them. But the prayers are producing their blessings. Amen. So I just want to encourage you, stay faithful, stay committed, just like you do for the world. I dare you do more for God in being faithful and see what God will do. Amen? Amen. So lead us, those of you that just shared, lead us in praying for us to find that grace to be diligent in God's presence. And then I would like somebody to lead us to pray for the willing women. Invite everybody that you can this weekend to church. The 11 of their national leaders are going to be here. And they're going to be sharing with us. And you know these people, they radically obey God. So let's pray tonight for God to bring the right people here. Invite people and pray for God to use them. Amen. As God desires to use them. We have a bunch of young people coming. This Sunday, you're going to see quite a young group of people. They call them the Acts. What is it? Acts team? What is that? Acts? Antioch Center of Training and Sending. They call it Acts. Young people do that. So the Acts team from IHOP Atlanta is going to be coming tomorrow to be with us because they're in town this weekend. So we have quite some guests, but so let's invite people and expect God to exchange some good things with these angels into our lives. Amen. So those of you that shared, if you can lead us, just please just pray for us in this area and we'll seal it tonight.